You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Welcome along, everyone, to the William Hill Daily Racing Podcast. You join us on Monday's edition of the podcast, where we're racing at Ayr and Newton Abbot in the afternoon domestically, Southern and Windsor in the evening, and of course, it's the first day of the Galway Festival from Ireland as well. So we'll be bringing you full race commentaries and results from 1:50 p.m. on William Hill's Racing Radio with Gary Capewell, Sam Turner and Kevin O'Malley, the team in the studio. But ahead of all that, my name is Sam Norris, and joining me to look ahead to four contests on Monday, as well as a look back to the action from yesterday, is Alistair Whitehouse-Jones. How are you, Ali?
Not bad, thank you, Sam.
Good. Enjoy Ascot yesterday?
Yeah, it was good. Yeah, the bit of a shame, obviously, they had so much rain on the Friday.
Yeah.
Obviously, it ruled out the main man on from the big race itself. But, you know, even taking him out of the equation, it was a thrilling contest. And, it wasn't a vintage renewal, but it was a competitive renewal.
Yeah, I think that's the right way to put it. And certainly an exciting finish. We'll get to King George briefly, Ali, but we'll start with one of the bigger stories that came out of the day in one of the biggest betting races of the day, of course, and that is Speculative Bid, who went off favourite for obviously the big handicap of the day. He ran anyway without a rider. They then weighed in. He was then declared a non-runner, and they eventually arrived at the decision that he was a runner. I mean, it was all a bit farcical, and it's one of those really that's cost punters and bookmakers alike.
Yeah, it's hard. No, we need to know the facts. Obviously, Jamie Spencer wasn't aboard the horse when the gates opened, so he wasn't really under orders. Whether there was a lack of communication with the stalls handlers and the starter, I don't know. But the bottom line is that they shouldn't have weighed in. I mean, that's the bottom line. Once the weighed in has been announced, and obviously bookmakers pay out and so forth, the ball is in motion in terms of, you know, settling bets. So that was the mistake that was made. If there were any doubts, then the weighed in announcement should not have been called, but it took an age for them to come to one conclusion and then come to another. It was just a bizarre, farcical situation, and, you know, it's a shame that it was. If it had been a 25-1 chance, then, you know, we wouldn't be making such a big deal of it. But he was a very well back 4-1 favourite and in the big betting heat of the day. So, it was an embarrassment all round. But hopefully lessons will be learned.
Yeah, and of course it affects the Rule 4 as well. It would have been 20 pence in the pound Rule 4 had he been declared a non-runner. So, of course, you then get the confusion of people who'd bet on other horses, not just the favourite.
Yeah.
Do you think just transparency needs to come out now, really, from the stewards, if they just explain and apologise the situation and then move on? Because I think without them coming out and explaining exactly what went on and the thinking, it's only going to annoy punters more in a way.
Yeah, that's it. They need to be man enough to apologise and say, you know, everybody makes mistakes.
Yeah, absolutely.
As long as they learn from this very high-profile blunder, then, we learn from the mistakes and move on. But there needs to be some transparency as to what actually happened. Why wasn't the horse, if Jamie Spencer wasn't aboard the horse, then, which he clearly wasn't,
yeah,
because he was sat on the framework, then why wasn't the horse actually taken out of the stalls? Or maybe because Spencer was sat on the framework, they'd decided that he wasn't going to be a runner. But even so, it's a complete lack of communication, and that needs to be clarified to all of us, I think. But I'm not bothered because I tipped Heaven's Guest, so
yeah.
Who cares?
Yeah, well they're the people who don't mind about it, and they're the people delighted that he was declared a runner in the end, because obviously no Rule 4 if you'd backed Heaven's Guest.
Yeah, everyone's a winner.
Yes, yeah, certainly, yeah. So you are if you were in that boat. We'll move away from that then, because 35 minutes later, obviously we had the big race of the day, the King George. The protagonist was withdrawn in the morning, of course, Golden Horn Ground, unsuitable for him. as I said right at the top of the podcast, we ended up still having a fantastic end to the race. Postponed looked for all the world like he was going to be run down by Eagle Top, but just found a little bit extra as well, and a game performance in the end by the winner.
Absolutely, and he was a good horse. He's been campaigned like a very good horse by Luca Camani, and this was, you could see it coming. He's a high class individual, and that Hardwick was a real balls up of a race.
Well, he just got lit really. Up the knee in the Hardwick.
And Eagle Top did, and yeah. Neither. We were sat in here actually when the Hardwick took place, and when they announced Snow Sky as 5-2 favourite for the King George, we all of us sort of looked at each other and thought, well, there's no way he's going to beat Postponed or Eagle Top again, because he had the race, just panned out so favourably for him. So I was not at all surprised that Eagle Top and Postponed, were very competitive on Saturday, and I mean I was very much in Eagle Top's camp. I thought he'd take a lot of beat, and I thought he'd improve for the ground, which I think he did. They finished literally pound for pound as they did in the Hardwick. They crossed the line together at the Royal Meeting, and they did so again yesterday. But I think Eagle Top was maybe a tad unlucky in that he gave Postponed a four length start, really turning in, and it was no great surprise given the exertions that the petrol that he had to use up to actually get level with the horse that he flattened out late on. If they met again, I'd fancy Eagle Top to gain his revenge. But that's to take nothing away from the winner, who was admirably brave in victory.
Yeah, absolutely. And good to see a Group 1 win for Andrea Azzani. He's a jockey who I feel is quite deserving of it.
Yeah, good for him. I'm even happier for Luca Camani, really.
Yeah.
A top-class trainer who, if you look where he sort of lurks in the Trainers' Championship, he's got no right to be down there, and that's purely because he doesn't get... I wouldn't say he doesn't get the horses. He doesn't get the depth of proper Group 1 performers, because he's got some high-profile owners, clearly, and there's many trainers who wish they could have the horses that he's got. But he belongs, with your Gosdens and your Stouts. He's that good, and it's good for him to win a real biggie.
Yeah, absolutely. Just before we move on then, one more thing regarding the King George. If the ground's not suitable, you've got to take a horse out. It was disappointing for everyone not to see Golden Horn yesterday, but there'll be a line of thinking that would suggest Postponed's not really a soft ground horse. Could Golden Horn have gone? And would he have still beaten that field? I know the ground wasn't ideally to suit, but again, as I say, Postponed's not exactly... A lover of the soft ground.
Well, we don't know that, do we? Because he hadn't really raced on soft ground. There was something Craig was touching on yesterday. Everybody's got him down as a fast ground performer.
No, I have as well, yeah.
Yeah, because Luca Camani's always stressed that he wants that ground.
Yeah.
But there was actually nothing to suggest that he wouldn't go on the conditions he encountered on Saturday. And Craig, in fairness to him, who tipped him, actually thought he would improve for the easy ground because of his high knee action. So
all right.
I think the fact he's been labelled as a fast ground performer is something everybody's just, the trainer says it, so he must be right.
Yeah.
And yet, he was unproven on the ground. We definitely didn't know for a fact that he wouldn't handle it, and now we know that he will.
Yeah.
I don't think he's an arc winner. I don't. I think he's entitled to take his chance at Longchamp in October, and what... The good thing in his favour, from an anti-post perspective, is that he will now go on whatever ground he faces there, because he's fine on fast ground, and now we know he's okay on deeper ground. So,
which is handy to have on your side if you're having a bet in the arc now in July. Obviously, we've got no idea what it's going to be come October.
Yeah, it could be anything from heavy to good to firm.
Yeah, that's right. Right then, another fantastic day of action at Ascot on Saturday. We must move ahead to matters on Monday. So I mentioned we've got the four domestic meetings, Ayr and Newton Abbott, Sutherland, Windsor, and of course the first day of the Galway Festival to look forward to on Monday. We'll be looking at two races from Ayr and two from Newton Abbott. We'll start with the Newton Abbott card. It's a jumps card there. We'll start with our 2:15, first race of the day. This one, a novice's hurdle. 2 mile and 5 furlong is the trip for this one. So class four, with 8 of them at the time of recording, looking to take their chance. Who did you like here, Ali?
Yeah, this novice hurdle really looks all about La Mule, a successful chaser, but with a mark in the 130s over hurdles, and who pretty much hacked up as he liked when justifying odds on favouritism at Aintree most recently over 2.5. That was a decent bit of placing by Tim Vaughan, exploiting his novice status as a hurdler. And so is this, I think. There are no doubts about the trip. He's versatile ground-wise. He's penalised accordingly, but he's against inferior opposition. And, you know, there's nothing not to like about him. I think he's going to be a solid favourite and be hard to beat.
Okay, Lemul then in that 215 for Ali, making the selection there.
Yeah, he is, Lemul, yeah.
Okay. The 345 then from Newton Abbott is the next race on today's podcast. This one is a handicap hurdle. 2 miles, 2 furlong is the trip for this class two. 7 of them line up for it. And I suppose the obvious starting point, Ali, really, is the top one of John Ferguson's Itirad.
Yeah, he's, the concern with him is that not so much his inflated handicap mark, because I think he can probably be competitive off that figure, but he's definitely a decent ground performer. And I think today, you know, the country is going to be lashed with heavy rain. It's going to move, start in the south and basically move north. So I don't think anybody's going to survive, you know, a dry day. And that is a major concern for Itirad, who really is a top of the ground performer. So I'd be against him purely on the ground issue. It's quite interesting, this, really. I mean, Ballyglasheen was only beaten ahead on the flat the other day, so he's in pretty decent form despite sort of uninspiring form figures over jumps. But he is stranded on a pretty tough tough mark over hurdles, and he's ridden by an inexperienced £10 claimer, whereas stable jockey Paul Maloney is, of course, on Lava Lamp, the yard's other one. He's penalised for winning last week, and he's no good thing to confirm placings with runner-up Byron Blue on the revised terms. So maybe Byron Blue could be the one out of those mentioned. But I think with all this in mind and with rain about, it could pay to take a chance on the handicap debutant Low Key, who is from a shrewd yard, that of David Pipe. And, you know, he wasn't that competitive in novice maiden events, but I think we can expect more from him now handicapping after a break. And he did win a soft ground handicap over a mile and a half at Newbury last year. So had it been a typical summer's day at Newton Abbott and the ground was good to firm, then I'd have been keen on a couple of others. But given the conditions I think they will materialise, then I'd be keen on Low Key to make a successful handicap debut.
Okay, Low Key then for Ali in that event. Pretty likely race for an 8-year-old, that one. We'll move on then to Ayres Card. We'll start with Ayr 330. This one is a handicap over a mile and 5 furlongs. 9 of them are set to take their chance for it. Who's on the shortlist?
Yeah, it's not a very long shortlist. It's not that great a race, I don't think. And Shaddick could take all the beating. This horse was running in group races last year, and having dropped down the social scale, if you like, he's now found his level again, and he won well enough at Chester last time to believe he can defy a £6 rise in the weights. And what he will do is run his race, for a stable that can do little wrong at present. So he's taken to beat Braes of Lochalsh, who won his first race in some style last time out. That could be a springboard to better things. I don't think he's handicapped out of it, but Shaddick is going to be the selection.
Okay, then Shaddick of Mark Johnson's getting the pick then in that 3:30 at Ayr. The final race on today's podcast comes up at 5:10 from Ayr. A mile handicap this one, with 10 of them lining up for it. What did you like?
Yeah, not the strongest of finales. This, the most likely winner, and my book is Echo of Lightning at the bottom. He's versatile ground-wise, which, you know, needs considering given all the rain about. He's versatile tactically, as he can front run but doesn't have to. And he's in pretty decent form. You know, he won at Beverley in May, was then a good second at Musselburgh, and shaped as if, you know, holding his form really well when denied a clear run at Hamilton last time. So I think we can upgrade that performance. He's probably as effective, at 7 furlongs as he is a mile. So trip issues either. And I think Echo of Lightning is the most likely winner. The other one I'll mention is Roussean, who has continued to run well since opening his account at Beverley, of course, for the O'Mari yard. And if finding any improvement for the headgear, then he too should also be involved. But I think I'd prefer Echo of Lightning.
Okay, then, Ali, with Echo of Lightning then receiving weights all round in that 5:10 contest at Ayr. Just remind us, please, one more time, then, of your 4 selections for the action on Monday.
Yeah, Lemul can justify favouritism in the opening novice hurdle at Newton Abbott, due off of 2:15. Then Low Key is taken to make a winning handicap debut in the 3:45. Then up at Ayr, Shaddick can continue a good run of form in the 3:30. An Echo of Lightning appeals as the safest option in a tricky finale, due off at 5:10.
Lovely stuff you've been listening to. Alistair Whitehouse Jones' thoughts ahead of Monday's action. The two races from Newton Abbott and the two from Ayr. We'll be previewing both cards in full throughout the day on William Hill Racing Radio. Also, Sutherland Windsor in the evening and the first day of the Galway Festival from Ireland as well. It's Gary Capewell, Sam Turner and Kevin O'Malley who will be in the studio from 1:50 p.m. So remember to join us for all of that. Thanks very much for joining me on the podcast today, Ali, and best of luck.
Thanks, Sam.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.